Okay, we're calling to order the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting, August 13th, 2024. It is 5 p.m. We are meeting in Pacific City virtually and in person at the Kiawanda, Community Center, Faye Jensen Room. The rules of conduct: all cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to including shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact, and will be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions. We will later discuss the possibility of adding no political statements today, later in the meeting. The roll call: Director Price?
Here.
Director Anderson?
Here.
Director Strotska?
Here.
And I am Director Donahue. I think I'm here. Okay, we'll move on to item number four of minutes. The July 9th, 2024 business meeting minutes. Are there any additions or corrections that anyone noticed? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes from the July 9th, 2024 meeting as presented.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the meeting minutes of July 9th, 2024. So there's no further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. We have a unanimous vote. Item number five, the financial report. For accounts payable for July 15th, July 22nd, and July 31st of 2024. Are there any questions or notes? Okay, I apologize. I should have probably asked this earlier today, but I forgot. I do have a couple questions here. On July 15th, we had a check for $2,251.60 to GSI Water Solutions for the stream flow monitoring. We're done with that? Are we going to have a continuing monthly bill like this?
Well, we have a functional system now. They're going to do additional monitoring for one more year just to fine-tune the calibration curve. The difference with this year is we've got two staff members that are shadowing them and learning how to do it ourselves.
Oh, good.
So that going forward with the, you know, an investment into some of the specialized equipment to measure the stream velocities and stuff, we will be able to do these measurements ourselves in-house, with the intent of further refining our calibration curve. This is done the same way that the USGS does it. And what happens is it is a constant thing, to where you have to go out and get a few measurements at least once a year, because, you know, the erosion or sediment may have changed the stream depth at the measuring point. It's possible that erosion on the banks may increase the width of the stream over time. So you have to continue to do these. We won't have to do it at this frequency, but several times a year, now that our staff will be trained, they will go out and take these measurements for the purpose of verifying the integrity of the calibration curve.
Okay. Will our employees be receiving this training? Will they be receiving some sort of certification?
There's no certification involved with this. It is some specialized training, but you don't have to be certified. There's no certification for this particular task. But it is specialized training, and after a year, they've now, three times they've shadowed them? A couple more times, and we can do this in-house for a lot cheaper.
Okay. Outstanding. Okay, my next question, September or July 15th, parametrics for jet. We paid for their design of the generator enclosure for $10,000, $10,562.11. That seems like an excessive amount.
Well, they're doing, they're working on the design. These will be generator enclosures, so they're going to involve transfer switches. At least in one case, it'll be an automatic transfer switch.
Will there be different size enclosures for each of them, or are they all going to be the same?
No, they'll pretty much be standardized, but they're almost done with the design. Unfortunately, the person that was doing the CAD drawing stuff for us left. Had to take maternity leave a month earlier than expected. So that slowed things down in terms of getting the actual result, but what they do on these is they kind of bill us for the work as they go. And this design work for these shacks, once it's done, and $10,000 is the lion's share of that, I believe.
Okay.
But once it's done, we'll have something that I can just hand to a contractor, and they'll know exactly what to build to what specifications. And also for a subcontractor with the electrical and the generator connections and so forth, that will all be addressed in the design.
Okay. The other thing I noticed on that same date, the 15th, we had a $2,773 payment to Schwab, Williamson, and Wyatt. I noticed one further on at the end of the month. They both totaled $5,144, and that was for the contract with Earthworks. Do you anticipate any further bills for the Earthworks work?
We might be expecting one more, but I do believe our legal expenses are going to come in under $10,000 on this.
Okay, thank you for identifying that as Earthworks. On the 31st, a check for $7,904.17 to correct equipment for the 100K reservoir lift station mission upgrade.
Well, this
or LS, is that lift station?
It is, and I believe that this, even though it might have said the 100K, I believe that these were. What's that? It's just supposed to be mission, but it's could be RTUs for more than just the 100K.
That bill specifically said 100K.
Oh, it did. Okay.
There's a separate bill that says handle lift station.
Okay.
So what'd they do?
Well, we don't have a remote telemetry unit at the 100K, so we don't have any telemetry to indicate what's going on site, whether it's an intrusion, alarm, or something that can now be connected to this remote terminal unit. This unit will be measuring the booster pumps there in terms of their start and stops and their run times. And it will also be measuring the elevation of the water level in the 100K, among other things. These are all things that we historically have had to drive to the 100K reservoir to get those readings ourselves. Now those readings will come in continually, and we will also be able to attach alarms. You know, for example, a high or low reservoir level alarm that we've never been able to have at the 100K before.
Oh, cool.
Good.
All right. Well, I'm once again, I apologize. I normally would call in for most of those kind of comments, but are there any other comments about accounts payable for the 15th, 22nd, and 31st of July? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll move that the accounts payable for July 15th, July 22nd, and July 31st, 2024 be approved as presented.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to accept the accounts payable for July 15th, 22nd, and 31st. There are no further questions. All those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. The vote is unanimous. Motion carried. Okay, our general ledger for fiscal year 24-25. Are there any questions about it? Thank you for catching that. Budgeted amounts that weren't showing. Rochelle, anybody have any questions or comments? Okay, we'll move on to item six, manager's report. John?
Thanks, Tom. A couple of things wanted to talk about. We haven't talked about it for a while because we've kind of been in a holding pattern with this, but in regard to our water rights, we've currently have two applications in to the Oregon Water Resources Department. One of them was to extend our water use permit. It expires in 2025. And the other pending application we have is a claim of beneficial use to certify the portion of the water used by Horn Creek that we can claim beneficial use for. So we will, we're working to certify that portion of our water rights at Horn Creek. And then the remaining portion, which is the water use permit extension, I'm pleased to report that if we finally got a proposed final order from the Oregon Water Resources Department. The proposed order is to grant everything that we have asked for, including an extension of that water use permit until the year 2070. So we won't have to worry about that for a while. And so it's proposed because once they put out the proposed final order, there's a protest period or a public comment period. And I believe it was September 20th, I'll have to check my notes, where that comment period or that public comment or that protest period will expire. Although we have had objections to our permits before, we aren't expecting one this time. And after the protest period is over, assuming there are no objections made to the granting of the permit extension, the Oregon Water Resources Department will convert our proposed final order to a final order. So once that's done, we've got half the water rights locked away for a long time. And then there's just this other piece we're still waiting for, which is our application to certify our claim of beneficial use. And these things take a long time to work their way through the system. A claim of beneficial use, it's not unheard of to have it take 2 to 3 years to even get the results of it. There is an option to expedite that. There's a fee to expedite that. And we'll look at whether we want to pursue that or not. But the first thing is to make sure we get the final order instead of just the proposed final order from the OWRD. So I wanted to give everybody an update on that. This permit application was submitted 15 months ago. You guys haven't heard me talk about water rights for a while. Well, there's a reason for that, but now we got some news. So,
that's great news.
Yeah. We did lose an employee last month, and it was a relatively new hire. That employee did go to work for somebody making significantly more money than he was here. So,
same kind of job?
What's that?
Same kind of job?
Same kind of job. I don't think it's representative, but it is perhaps the first tangible, as opposed to like anecdotal evidence that we have, that our entry-level position is likely underpaid.
Right.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that with the unfinished business part of the agenda.
Okay.
We have not hired a replacement yet. We've had a couple of nibbles, but we have not hired a replacement operator yet, but we're working to do so. And other than that, that's really all there is for the manager's report this month. I don't really have any maintenance updates or anything.
Is that the only position that's vacant then?
It's the only position that's vacant is one operator and training position.
Left. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. We'll move on to item 7, unfinished business. Boy, is this up, was unfinished. I didn't say was. Resolution 24XXX, we have two to consider today. This one we've been working on for most of the year, 8-9 months anyway. And it's basically duties and responsibilities of board members and behavior of board members. I finally got some comments from Nanette Carvello, our HR consultant, and I asked her to look at Exhibit B, which was most of the new stuff that we were adding other than the two existing resolution that we are going to rescind. And this was basically an entire policy for board member duties, responsibilities, and behavior. The only thing in her comments relating to item B was something we'd already addressed, and that was fine. John and I rewrote the first part of the resolution as well as the preamble. And to make it easier to read. And I'm hoping that we've all had a chance to read it. We really haven't over, it hasn't really changed over the months. But Rochelle, if we approve this today, would do you know what resolution number this would be? We had the one last month for the number one, I believe it was, for the wages and fees and such.
I think we're going to be at 2404.
I think 04.
What was?
No, because in the budget process,
I think it'll
we
be
have
2405. Because we had 2, 3, and 4 for our budget resolutions. We had another.
Okay, so this will be 05.
This will be 05.
Okay. So resolution 2405. Are there any comments?
Tom, just to make sure I understood what you said, if you did in consulting with Nanette, she pointed something out that you had already revised, but wasn't she looking at the most final version of
that's,
it?
That's correct.
So then after your conversation with her, something that item got revised in what we're seeing here. Is that
what you were seeing here is... She had mentioned it, but she didn't have. I had already seen something and revised it. So
she wasn't looking at what you were looking at.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because I revised it, and then she said, "Well, she in her own words, she said something about it, but I had already revised it, so we were in concert."
Okay. So what we have here is the final.
Yes, ma'am.
With everybody on the same page.
Correct.
Thank you.
The only final thing that we did is after Nanette's comments, John and I revised the first part of
the intro.
But As she was a little confused about the Exhibit A, the SDIO, and that is written a little confused or whatever, but that's verbatim right out of their deal, and we have been using that, even though it probably needs to be rewritten a little, but we just left it as it was, unless they revise it themselves.
It's their document, not ours. We're just adopting it as part of our procedure.
As guidelines.
She did make some revision comments for it, but we didn't implement them because it wouldn't.
No.
I mean, if we're going to refer to it as the SDAO model.
We don't have authorship to.
And I think she was a little confused. She actually, like John said, she made a few comments about Exhibit A. But I think she was confused about the fact of what SDIO is. It's multiple districts, and they aren't all water districts. But she didn't understand that, so she was a little confused about that. But it didn't really pertain to what we'd already written. So this is the final version. So if there aren't any other comments, I'd be open to a motion.
I move that resolution number 2405. Do I have to read this whole thing?
It's duties, responsibilities, and behavior.
In the matter of board member duties and responsibilities, be approved.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Resolution 2405, board member duties, responsibilities, and behavior be approved. Are there any other? So if, where am I? Okay, so all those in favor signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Next item on the agenda is resolution, which would be 2406, mobile food unit policy. And this has just been introduced to us. And does anybody have any comments about it besides me?
Could I start just by prefacing this just a bit? So we had talked about this. There's interest in the community in food trucks. By the way, the term mobile food unit is not my term. It's what the primary regulatory agency that governs these calls them. So I figured that was good enough for us.
And what agency is that?
That's county.
It's the Oregon Health Authority.
Oh, Health Authority. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think it's very important that we're consistent with the law.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Having that language is.
So it's mobile business.
It's a mobile food unit is what they're calling food trucks, food carts.
So if there was another kind of mobile business.
This applies generically to mobile businesses. It's just there's some policies
specific
to mobile food units, which is why I define that for the purposes of the resolution as well. And I did talk to the community development director for the county. I wanted to have a good understanding of what their policies, their rules, their regulations that govern the placement of these were. We had a good discussion. My goal is to create something that would align well with the county's rules in terms of where these are allowed to be placed and so forth. So I did discuss it with the county and was able to make some adjustments so that this policy aligns well with their policies about mobile food units. And I was also told that there are two people that have already got their approved zoning permits for these in Pacific City.
With the county.
County. So things are moving fast. This was a policy that because of, you know, all the speculation about this and the interest, four different people had reached out to us to talk about it, that we really needed to take a good hard look at a policy specific to these types of businesses. This is essentially what I tried to put together. This, I believe, having read it, you all will find that it is in congruence with my personal philosophy, and I felt like that the way that the authority needed to move to address these new potential businesses mm-hmm. that might come to our community. Mm-hmm. And so I think that what I put down here is consistent with earlier discussions we had about how to regulate the connection of public water and sewer services to these types of customers. And so I just wanted to just kind of preface this by saying those things. This is a draft. You guys haven't had any time to comment on it or anything. If this is something that looks good to the board, then maybe we can get it approved today. If not, please give me comments and feedbacks, and I'll incorporate that into a newer revision that the board can consider at a later time. I think we've got a little bit of time, but we don't have much, and I do want to remind the board that we don't even have an SDC rate established for mobile businesses. So we need to think about that too. And just initially, I would say probably the closest existing thing we have would be an RV spot. And so, you know, we might just be able to use our SDC rate for an RV spot for something like this. Yeah. And I think that's a fairly close comparison.
As far as consumption? Or?
As far as consumption, as far as the fact that these are mobile units per se, that they will occupy a particular space, but it's it's not a brick and mortar type of establishment.
But it is a commercial establishment.
That's a point I wanted to make.
That is covered in.
It's because it's not quite written that way. So I had several comments about that, but that was the key one. And for example, in definitions under indirect service connection, a water or sewer connection to a mobile business is that a commercial business, it should be said, a mobile commercial business or a mobile business is made through an internal external plumbing systems of an adjacent commercial business.
Well, the term business in my mind implies commercial.
Yeah,
I think it ought to be written in there.
I think it's redundant, business or commercial.
So can I ask some questions? So I know that there's a food truck, that the taco truck that's at the Nesquen Market, and it's the Nesquen Market, and it's only there on Saturdays. So is there going to be a difference between one that's only open one day a week or 2 days a week compared to something that's open 7 days a week? And that one doesn't have any hookups for waste disposal at the market, so they must move that somewhere to do that. Is there going to be a difference if they have a bathroom or they don't have a bathroom?
Well, that's all handled at the county level. The county there are some applications of food trucks that will require some kind of bathroom facilities and so forth, but it would only be, if memory serves me correctly, it will only be for a larger food truck pod that has outdoor seating. If they've got outdoor seating, they need to have some restroom facilities, but those are almost always just a porta potty type of arrangement.
Okay, because there's outdoor restroom there. There's, you know, there's porta potty there, but they don't own it. They don't have anything to do with it. The Nesquen Market provides that for the customers. So I guess, you know, I'm asking because when we set rates, are we going to take some of these factors into consideration in setting rates? Because if they have a bathroom that people are using, that's different water supply and waste supply than if there is no bathroom. And if they're just going to be open one day a week, then that has minimal impact on things compared to if they're open 7 days a week or 5 days a week.
Well, and they may be seasonal too. They may be 5 or 7 days a week during the summer, but then roll up their doors and go away during the winter.
It'd be a similar thing, I would think, as a vacation rental. That's more seasonal than...
Yeah.
But we still charge the same rate year round.
Yeah. And what I envision happening here, so nobody, to my knowledge, will be using a public bathroom facility or some other business's bathroom facility if they are frequenting the food truck or if they are patronizing the food truck. My understanding is sure there are restrooms around, but I suppose that there's a case where if somebody wanted to add a mobile food truck to an existing business, that people who might stop at the food truck might be allowed to go into the business to use the restroom. It's possible, but I do know that they typically, what you see with these are more porta potty based, and they're usually only at the locations that have dedicated outdoor dining. In fact, I think there's a rule that says if you have outdoor dining, you got to provide some kind of restroom facilities. You know, they aren't sitting. It's not like a restaurant where you'd walk in and you'd sit there for an hour and a half to dine. People oftentimes just grab their food and go. So I think even if they were to use a neighboring facility, that it wouldn't get a huge amount of use. And same's on the water side. Some of these only prepare already cooked food, right? Mm-hmm. So they're self-contained. They don't even need a water or sewer connection. But I do know that from what I've read at the state level, that these are meant, at least in unincorporated Tolma County, these are meant to be placed in a particular location, not to drive from this side of town and then go park at the other side of
like
town.
Like they do in Portland.
Yeah. And that used to be the way food trucks operated a lot. But these days, they're making them have a base of operation.
Well, I noticed, I kind of see where Kathy was going, because in here, yes, I think Ken pull up the spot. Wherever they are, they have to have a water and a sewer connection. That's...
Well, if they don't need to connect because they're just preparing food or something, they don't have to necessarily connect. But what I will say, from what I understand, is if they can't connect to the sewer, if they have to connect, then they can't connect to the water. That's a state rule.
Right.
So, but my understanding is just because they exist doesn't mean they have to be connected.
They have to be hooked to the sewer.
My understanding is they don't have to connect to either. But if they want water, they have to be able to connect to sewer.
Because I don't think the taco truck is connected to anything. In Nesquen.
They just roll in, roll away.
They drive in on Saturday.
Just
they
like
open
the vendors
up,
selling
they sell
lettuce.
Tacos for 4 or 5 hours, and they go away.
They're all self-contained.
And they don't have tables. They don't have bathrooms.
Yeah.
There are tables there. There's some facilities there, but they have nothing to do with that truck.
Yeah, and for a case like that, obviously, well, we wouldn't care what happened because there wouldn't be any water or sewer involved.
But there has to
be
some sometime.
What's that?
There has to be some time because they have water in there in the tanks, and so they're going to be, you know, like you do in your camper. And so they're going to be getting...
Well, they probably have an RV dump site somewhere. The only RV dump sites I'm aware in town are at the RV parks, and I believe that you have to stay there to use them, or at the very least you have to pay to use them.
I think you can pay to use them.
You can pay to use them.
Yeah. But it would typically only be gray water, as opposed to black water.
Because I'm sure that truck is just all self-contained. So then whatever they use, they take with them and dump it somewhere, and they refill their water, and they come back next Saturday.
And they're licensed by the state.
Do it again.
And
probably handle it just like they would their fifth wheel.
Right.
Or something like
so you're
that.
Not, they're not hooked up to anything.
No.
Right.
And I will say that there are four classes of food trucks. You have to get to class four before they actually do any... a class three, you can cook non-animal based foods like rices, things like that. You can do that in a class three, but it takes a class four to be able to cook burgers and steaks and taco meat and other things that are animal based. And in a case like that, they would require, those would be the ones that would most likely have water and sewer connections.
Right, right.
And those would be the ones that would need a grease trap.
Right.
And specifically a backflow preventer as well.
Right.
That was a question I had. It would be neat, is there a separate charge for a backflow prevention assembly?
Well, they would have to buy it, they would have to install it, and then they would have to pay for the annual testing.
Something we would provide, right?
We would not provide.
Because we have backflow assemblies in our system, don't we?
We do, but we don't provide those. The customer, based on our requirement, the customer...
Are we going to have to inspect these things to make sure that they... have those proper things before we issue a license or what?
Well, they'll turn in on an annual basis a test report for performing the annual testing of the backflow preventer. We'll manage it in the sense that any municipality manages their cross-connection program and the backflow assemblies in their district. We'll send them a letter saying it's time to test your device, just like all cities do. In terms of the grease trap, we probably will add it to our periodic grease trap inspections. We inspect all the other grease traps in all the restaurants. We try to do it quarterly. Realistically, we do it more biannually. But a class four food truck would be required to have a grease trap and would require and would be subject to our inspections.
I have one last question. This particular resolution would amend resolution 0502. That referred mostly to mobile homes and trailers and that sort of thing. When we amend that, this would amend, it's a separate resolution, so will we have to resend resolution 0502 or rewrite it so that it doesn't include food trucks in it?
Well, we would amend it to omit any mention of mobile businesses.
Okay.
And so at that point, it would only be a document that deals with mobile dwelling units like RVs. And my next task will be to go in and to amend that recreational vehicle ordinance or resolution. And at that point in time, we would give it a new number and rescind 0502 instead of only amend it.
So we would be an action. It would be an action item for the board.
It would
just approve it
following the approval.
Following
of this.
The approval of this, and I will say that I had the county on the phone, I had a discussion with them about what is termed a mobile dwelling unit. And we know the county because we've seen the ADU ordinance. We've based our own ADU ordinance in some measure on the counties. We know that recreational vehicles aren't allowed as ADUs, and I found out from the county that unless it's a health emergency, or perhaps in some parts of the county where they would allow somebody who is building a home on a lot to live in an RV temporarily, there would be virtually no instance in our service area where direct connection from an RV to our water and sewer system is even gonna be allowed or will ever happen. Because we know that they aren't approved as ADUs, and outside of those small emergencies or those few emergency or special considerations, the county will not allow it to be a primary connection either. So that pretty much rules out much need for a big policy on our part,
right,
related to the connection of our services to an RV in more of a permanent fashion. The county's not going to allow them to be placed there, so any ordinance we write that addresses connections from our system to an RV is going to be a pretty short and sweet resolution. Because basically it's not going to be allowed. The county's not going to allow them to be placed, so what would our resolution say about connecting them permanently to our system? You follow what I'm saying?
They can't.
So, John, are there any mobile food trucks that are waiting to get approval for hookup fees that are actually waiting to open, that they would be open today if they had that?
To my knowledge, no.
What about those two that we said had zoning approvals?
Well, they've got zoning approvals, but they have not approached us other than just a general inquiry about it some months back. They have not approached us about getting serious with connecting to our services. So I do believe we have some time. If you guys would like to, you know, provide some comments, and I can incorporate them into this document. But it's still something that we got to try to push through at some point soon.
Because I think that there's a big demand for this in the community. I mean, when you look around in the summer, every restaurant in town is packed with people with lines waiting out the door. And I know that the food truck pod thing, whatever you call it, down in Taft is busy all the time. So I think whatever we can do to be supportive of having that happen in our community would be good. But at the same time, I want to make sure that whatever resolution gets finalized, that it's what we want it to be, and not be in such a hurry that we make mistakes.
Oh, and I agree. I there's no reason we need to pass this tonight. If you guys want to give it some more thought, I will say that in to piggyback on what you said, I can tell you, having worked in this town for 3 years and had nearly every hot lunch I've ever had here be from the gas station, because we only have a half hour. We don't have time to go and sit in a restaurant and order food and all that. I can tell you that these food trucks will be popular. I think there are some people in the community that, you know, probably have mixed feelings about whether they want to see them come in. But that was one of the purposes for this ordinance, because the way this ordinance was written, how it was clumped in into a same ordinance with RVs, which in my mind are two completely different types of connections.
Yeah.
You know, we were requiring full SDCs, full water and sewer connections for every food truck scenario.
Right.
And I think my concern is we might as well say that they weren't even allowed,
allowed.
Because who wants to pay that kind of money to connect to a business venture that is kind of
temporary
experimental
kind of,
and risky?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't even know, people don't even know if they're going to be able to make a go of a business like this in this town. And I wanted to be business friendly, and that's why I felt like that we needed to address these differently than the way we address mobile dwelling units.
So I guess my question, like to the rest of the board, is what are the specific things that we think are missing in this that John has presented? I mean, is it something that's big?
I only had one thing. As far as most of this, in the very first part, in the matter of establishing rules at the top, and regulation for the connection of water and sewer service to a commercially zoned lot or parcel for a mobile business.
Where are you?
At the very top.
He's suggesting some...
A commercially zoned lot or parcel for a mobile business, or words to that effect. So, but
if I were to keep the title the same and perhaps at the top of a policy statement, make that a policy statement to where these are only approved in commercially zoned areas, which is a county call. Mm-hmm. The county won't issue a permit unless it is commercially zoned. But I'll take a note of that.
I'd vote for it right now.
I'm going to push back a little bit on that, Tom, because the concept of business and commercial are essentially the same in topic. And because the county approves the commercial businesses, commercial establishments, I think that's covered. And I think it unnecessarily complicates the language. I think the language that's here refers to a mobile business, and the county is responsible for their part of the permitting. We don't even get involved in that. So
I just think it clarifies just a little bit. Otherwise, we have, for example, it's not uncommon to see some truck parked alongside of the road selling fish. We have one almost every weekend right now up by Thousand Trails, which is competing with our fish sellers here. How the hell can they do that? There's no water sewer connection. They just pull over to the side of the road.
It's just like they open their cooler and sell fish out of their cooler. That's not apples and apples to what we're talking about here. And it's not an issue that we're addressing in this proposed resolution.
Well, I think it'd just be simply said. Implied is one thing. Some things implied aren't necessarily construed as actual.
It's not implied. It says business. That's the same thing as commercial.
It doesn't say commercial.
It's the same thing, though. And I personally think this resolution has everything we need. I think John's done an excellent job of researching it.
I don't know why we would need to.
And I'm prepared to make a motion to approve it.
Okay.
So I will move that we approve what would now be, help me out, Resolution 2406 in the matter of establishing rules and regulations for the connection of water and sewer service to a mobile business. / amends resolution 5-02.
Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to establish rules and regulations for the connection of a water and sewer service for a mobile business, and also amends resolution 0502. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Nay. Motion carried.
Thanks, Sarah.
Okay.
All right, next item.
Okay.
Let's see. Wage survey update. How are we doing?
Well, thanks to Rochelle, we're making very good progress. Want to say, too, that with... The the study that, the recent study done at Bay City has also been a time saver for us too. And I definitely want to give Rochelle credit for this. She's done pretty much all the work on this, but I'm amazed how far along she is. So we've got all the raw data from all the places that internally we decided to target. And they involve some of the larger, as requested, they involve some of the larger municipalities on the other side of the mountains. They involve some special districts. They involve communities up and down the coast that are very similar to us in size and so forth. And we've got all the raw data. We're starting to get it all into tabular form. We've gotten the job descriptions and are doing our best to identify if they're good comparisons, what one place is calling something versus another place. And there will be some guesstimations we'll have to make, or some allowances we'll have to make, just in terms of the reality of not being able to compare one job at one location to another job at another location precisely. But so far, and we're remarkably close to being able to submit a draft of the results to the board. Unfortunately, not quite there today, but we're remarkably close thanks to Rochelle's good work on this. And I think in general, and we're still crunching some of the numbers, but in general what I will say is our lower paying jobs are lower jobs within our staffing roster or structure. The lower you go, the bigger the discrepancy we're seeing. The higher we go, the tighter it gets. So, and that holds true so far. We still need to pull some more numbers in, but for example, we're finding a much larger discrepancy between our entry-level positions, an OIT, and the next level up in Operator 1. And as we get into Operator 2 and then Operator 3, they're tightening up. Mm-hmm. So we are very optimistic that this is going to really put us somewhere where we want to be in terms of, we're not going to be on the high side, we're not going to be on the low side, we want to be somewhere in the sweet spot, right? And so I'm very optimistic that this is going to be a tremendously successful effort.
So we want to be competitive.
Right. Yeah. And you think that'll be ready, for the next board meeting?
It'll definitely be ready for the next board meeting. If we can swing it, we would like to have it, get it to you all before, maybe a week earlier than the mm-hmm. normal board packet would come. Of course, we've got all the normal stuff that we have to mm-hmm. do every day. Right. But I think that things are really progressing well. And I think that this is going to be a very worthwhile and successful effort on our part. So.
Well.
Let the relay.
Oh, I think you guys are
Water Sewer Board.
That's Doug, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, Doug.
Okay. But just so that's
leave those on.
So that's the update on where we're at with it. But it's looking good, and we're making really good progress.
Because I'd like to make some movement on that, sooner rather than later.
Sure.
Thank you, Rochelle, for all the work you're doing on that.
Very much.
Appreciate it. Okay. Well, let's move on to item 8, new business. The lift station upgrades. You provided us with some documents. How do you pronounce the name of that company?
Xylem.
Xylem. Xylem. Okay.
Xylem. Yeah.
So Rogers and Cindy's Lift Avenues upgrades.
Yeah, so we had a discussion the last round that under our circumstances, we've consulted with some people on this to be sure, but we are comfortable with our sole source on these. That's why there's only one quote for each. The upgrades are identical, so the quotes are pretty much identical. This will, when you guys drive around town, I'm sure you've seen these smaller package lift stations. So we've got Straub done, we've got Beachy done, we've got Kiwanda done, we've got Madrona done. Of those package lift stations, just two more, Cindy and Roger. We just got the development permits from the county for them.
Good.
Which was, I was afraid was going to be a, more of a chore than it was, because Roger is in the Nisteca River floodplain and Cindy is in the Nisteca River floodway. And when you want to do development, especially in the floodway, it can be a real chore to get approval for that.
But, where's Cindy at, by the way?
It's down by the airport. You know where the home built down, or the home burnt down over there? It's on the corner right there at the beginning of that street.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was the bridge.
If you take Airport Way next to the bank, take Airport Way and go all the way out to the end before you... It's a left-hand turn before you get in the row of houses.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just a little short street there that
ends. Yep, so this is just a continuation of what we started a couple years ago. And if you guys have any questions, let me know. Otherwise, I would ask the board to approve both purchases, and I assume we would do that one at a time.
Okay. So the final numbers at the... That included freight and everything. They were both about the same.
About 49.
49.
Exactly. 49 something.
And I apologize. I didn't bring one with me. But
they are exactly the same.
They're exactly the same.
So I would entertain a motion about the lift station equipment. Ms. Hyland.
I move that the bids from Xylem for $49,298.70. For the Cindy upgrade and $49,298.70 for the Roger upgrade be approved.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to approve the equipment from Xylem for the Cindy upgrade at $49,298.70 and for the Roger upgrade for the same price. There are no further discussion.
I have a question about procedure from a budget audit standpoint. Do we need to have two separate motions? Okay. Thank you.
Pardon me?
This is fine.
We don't need two separate motions.
We called out each project and the amount for each project, so as long as it's okay that way, it's okay to have it in one place.
I think as long as it's written out, and that's that way.
Thank you.
Okay, no further comments. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Motion carried. Next item is we wanted to, at the Director Price's suggestion, under the rules of conduct policy, that we add rules of conduct for a meeting environment. I would think we'd add it to item 2E. There'd be no political statements. Would that be
sufficient? I believe it's item under rules of conduct for public comment under item 3. We would add item E, refrain from any political.
Item 3 where?
Under
rules of conduct
rules
for public
conduct
comment?
For public comment. Item 3, each speaker should. The last item that's there currently is refrain from any racial slurs.
Oh, so that would be 3.
So this would be item 3 E.
Echo. Okay.
And I think it could simply say refrain from any speech of a political nature.
Okay.
And then I noted in the copy that was in the packet, it said revisions are in bold type. And that entire last paragraph was in bold type. Now, is that...
That was
already
recent,
on there.
That's the most recent version that we had.
Okay.
It may
have been originally in bold type for emphasis, because when we first did this, we printed it and put it on in a little pocket on the wall in the conference room, and pointed people to it if they want to read it. So I think that would be the only revision. Yeah.
Okay, refrain from any speech of a political nature under 3E. Is that correct?
Yes, we create item E.
Anybody have any further comment?
No, I agree. I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's it's perfect spot.
I'll move that we, under rules of conduct for public comment, we add to item 3, item E, refrain from any speech of a political nature.
Okay. We have a motion.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to add under our rules of conduct for public meeting, for public comment, under item 3, add subparagraph E, refrain from any speech of a political nature. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. So we are at guest questions and comments, item 9. Yes.
So this is for you guys. And I should have talked to you about this before the meeting started, but I forgot. Every year around November, we have a best practices where we get a 10% discount on our insurance if we complete these 5 steps. One of those steps is that they want the board, everyone on the board, to complete a training, which is just a video. They have finally approved which training that's going to be as of today. So John and I will get that out to you guys tomorrow. Probably less than 30 minutes. And then at the end, you get a certificate so that we can prove that you guys have all done this training. And then we'll get 2% off.
Yay.
What about is that a video training? Or
it is.
Is that the same one you mentioned in another email coming up in September? Salem?
That's an in-person meeting, the October one.
It's October one that you just sent.
October 2nd.
October 2nd is an in-person.
In Salem.
I think it's 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Usually they'll provide lunch when you go to that.
That's different.
It's totally different.
Okay.
Completely different. Yep.
All right. Thank you. Do you have anything to say?
You'll send that other one out?
Yes.
Whenever?
Yes.
Okay. And it's November sometime.
Okay.
It can be done anytime.
Anytime
between now and November.
Before November. Yeah.
Before November. Got it.
So we come into the office and do that at the office?
If you want to, but we're just going to send it to you. You'll log in, and then you can watch the video.
Okay.
Okay, item 10, Chair Director comments.
I want to thank John and Michelle for their work for the picnic or the potluck or whatever you want to call it. I really enjoyed meeting all the staff and talking to them and, you know, just visiting with them on a one-on-one basis. And I think we need to be making this a yearly event.
Yeah, I think it went really well.
I think it went good. Yeah.
You get any feedback from the troops?
Troops enjoyed it. They, you know, were thankful for the board's time. They, I think they enjoyed it a great deal. And good feedback from them as well.
I'm sure it's good for them to meet us and actually see our faces and, you know,
as real people.
It's like we're real people. Yeah. We're not some, you know, plastic.
I had only one comment. You know, I'd just like to thank the board, present board members, as well as John and former board members for their work on, 2405, the resolution about board director's duties, responsibilities, and behavior. That was a long process. I think we produced a very interesting and a very comprehensive document that will serve us well into the future, and I just wanted to thank every single one of you. And a lot of credit goes to a couple of our former board members, especially Gentleman at Oates Twist Wine Company, and I wish him well, especially. So thank you all.
Yeah.
And thank you, Tom, for your leadership in that, because you've stuck with it.
That's very kind of you. Thank you, too.
Well, and I've been waiting for it to get done so I could embellish a few of the things in our employee handbook, too. I wanted to see this where this would wind up before I did that.
So. That's kind of what it looked like was the proper thing to do, so you picked right up on that, so that's cool. All right, so at this time, if there's no further business, we're going to recess for executive session under ORIS 192.660, item 2I, to review and evaluate the employment-related performance of the chief executive officer of any body, a public officer, employee, or staff member who does not request an open hearing. So,
convened.
Okay. All right. Civic City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors business meeting agenda, or business meeting is now reconvened at 7:15 p.m. At this time, I've exited our executive session to review our annual review of our authority manager. And we have a recommendation. Ann, would you like to...
Based on the overall evaluation, we consider ourselves very fortunate that you are here serving the public in the Civic City. With the Water and Sanitary Service. While there are always some things that any of us could do to improve on what we do day to day, whether it's on the job or otherwise, we are very, very pleased with your work. So we would like to, I would like to move that we increase John's salary by 5% in the coming contract year.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to increase our authority manager's annual salary by 5%. With no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, it is now 7.
I just want to say on the record that I appreciate your work, too. You do a good job here, and it's good to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I agree.
Okay.
7:17, this meeting is adjourned.
Whatever happened to repeating everything that was said?